Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. The world belongs to the Lord, the earth and all its people. How good and lovely it is to live together in unity. Love and faith come together. Justice and peace join hands. With joyful hearts, we come to meet our Lord, gathered at his table.
Knowing that we fall short of the righteousness to which Jesus calls us, let us come before God to lay bare our guilt that we might be forgiven and made whole. Friends, please join with me in the Litany of Confession. Because you made the world, intended it to be a good place, and called its people your children, because when things seemed at their worst, you came in Christ to bring out the best in us, so, gracious God, we gladly say,
who said all the right things, but who would not do the right things God asked them to do. Then Jesus really pushed the point, saying, people that they despised, tax collectors and prostitutes, were going into the kingdom of God ahead of them. Note that Jesus said ahead of them, not instead of them, but ahead of them. People who may have said no at the beginning, who changed their minds and went, while those who refused to go continued to mistake their own convictions for obedience to God. There is most certainly an element of hypocrisy in the story, doing the talk, but not walking the walk, and religious people are always open to such criticism. The Reverend Joel Osteen and his multi-million-dollar operation recently took it on the chin for initially locking the doors of his church to the people of Houston needing help following Hurricane Harvey. Hypocrite was the word I heard used most. One of my good friends during my high school years was the son of our pastor. We were buddies. He spent a lot of time at our house. We rarely spent any time at his. I would listen to his father preach on Sunday morning, love one another, care for one another, forgive one another. But my experience of him out of the pulpit in his own home was not one of love, care, and forgiveness, but of a demanding, harsh, critical father who rarely had a kind word to say to his own son. When we say one thing and do another, promising we will love each other on Sunday and then find ways to slander, hurt, or just plain ignore each other on Monday, then we open ourselves to the charge, hypocrite. Sometimes it is our human frailness. We do it intentionally. Other times, I think it is just more of an unconscious substituting our beliefs about God for our obedience to God, as if it were enough to say, I believe, or I'm a Christian, or yes, God, here I am, send me, without ever going and doing. On this World Communion Sunday, I think of the enormity of the problems facing our world. There is still so much that divides us from one another, still so much anger, fear, and ridicule. The question the chief priests and elders ask may still be on our lips and the lips of others as we question the legitimacy of policies and priorities and wonder how best to make our way in this world. It feels overwhelming. I think of all the vineyards that God is potentially sending us into, and it is hard to know where to go or what to do. Or maybe we've responded and done what God asked and just hit a wall. Call it compassion fatigue. First it was Harvey, then Irma, Jose and Maria, then earthquakes, floods, drought, and fire. I want to find ways to help the people of Puerto Rico, but how many times can I give? How much more can I do? Do you ever feel that way? Here I am, Lord, but this time couldn't you just send my brother? It is easy to get beliefs mixed up with actions. I know lots of folks who believe they love their families, but who spend precious little time with them. I believe in climate change and being a good steward of the earth, but far too often I walk around with a plastic water bottle. I know lots of folks concerned about the violence in our schools who think nothing of purchasing video games with an M rating for mature due to the violent nature of the content. We all know people who steadfastly believe in the American way, who wrap themselves in the flag but who don't bother to vote and think nothing of treading all over the Constitution when it is to their advantage. It's a peculiar thing, this vacuum between what we believe and what we actually do. The theological word for it is sin. Missing the mark, which is both inevitable and forgivable, but never tolerable for those who love God. When God is the mark we are missing, the vacuum is simply too painful to bear. It tears us up to say one thing and do another. It tears up our families, our friendships, our churches, our communities. When we say love and do indifference, or say right and do wrong, or say, I will go, and go nowhere at all. What we believe has no meaning apart from what we do about it. There is not a creed or a mission statement in the world that is worth one visit to a sick friend, or being there and standing with or kneeling with a person in a situation of injustice, or providing food and water to an island desperately in need of both. Words alone, they are just not enough. In Isaac Dennison's book, Out of Africa, she tells the story of a young Kikuyu boy named Kitau, who appeared at her door in Nairobi one day to ask if he might work for her. She said yes, and he turned out to be a fine servant. But after just 3 months, he came to her to ask her for a letter of recommendation to Sheikh Ali bin Salim, a Muslim in Mombasa. Upset at the thought of losing him, she offered to raise Gitau's pay, but he was adamant about leaving. He had decided to become either a Christian or a Muslim, he explained, and his whole purpose in coming to live with her had been to see the ways and habits of Christians up close. Next, he would go live for 3 months with Sheikh Ali to see how Muslims behaved, and then he would make up his mind. Aghast, Dennison wrote, I believe that even an archbishop, when he had had these facts laid before him, would have said, or at least thought, as I said, Good God, Gitau, you might have told me that when you came here. If only God would tell us ahead of time. If only. Of course, God has been telling us all along. If we only had the ears to hear and the eyes to glimpse his way of being in the world. There are plenty of people who say, believe, or stand for all the right things. There's no shortage there. What God is short of are people who will go where God calls them and do what God gives them to do. To quote Soren Kierkegaard, Jesus wants followers, not admirers. Follow. Well, I hope you don't feel like my words this morning were aimed at any of you. It was certainly not my intent to call any of you a hypocrite. It is most certainly true, I believe, that we as individuals and as a congregation have been and will be both brothers. Sometimes our yes goes nowhere despite our best intentions, and our no eventually yields to a hunger for the vineyards of God. And we give ourselves over to those vast fields, sowing God's mercy, justice, and compassion. We are both brothers. Sometimes, most all the time, at the same time. If you did feel personally attacked, I hope you won't do to me what they did to Jesus. You can just growl at me at the door on your way out. But what you say to me is far less important than what you say to God. But remember, whether we say yes or no, it is apparently less important to God what we say than what we actually do. So go here from this day to be doers, sowing mercy, justice, and compassion in the vineyards of God. Amen.